Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Man, that's what that song's all about. Undefeated. Undefeated. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Kings chapter number 2 tonight. Good to see you back. Beautiful weekend. I asked Pastor Seatman, I said, hey, are you good for a special tonight? He said, yeah. So what are you singing? He said, I'm a little teapot. I'm like, I'm a little teapot, like short and stout. He's like, you got the first verse. First Kings chapter number 2. That got a lot more laughter than that should have. That's wrong. That's what it is, brother. Wrong. Wrong. All right. Are we in 1 Kings 2? Hopefully you found it. 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2, we are concluding with the death, well, the life and death of David. David is king of Israel. He has reigned for 40 years. This is David, like David and Goliath David. This is David who ran from Saul for so many years. This is David and Bathsheba David. So in chapter 2 in verse 10, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Well, much like the transfer of the kings to follow, David has appointed somebody, and that's his son Solomon. In verse 12, then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to sing of your victory. God, what a difference you've made in my life. God, you've forgiven us of our sin. You've promised us the eternal life. Thank you for that. God, you've certainly given us something to sing about. God, as we look at this passage, Lord, help us to sober our minds up. Lord, help us to look into this passage and maybe see ourselves for a moment. God, help us. Help us to maybe fix something that's not right between us and thee. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon was a unique king, unlike any before, unlike any after. He was known for this. He was known for his wisdom. He was known for his wisdom. Solomon will go on to write so many of the Proverbs that we read regularly. The book of Proverbs, so much of those things were what God would speak to him through and pass that bit of insight and wisdom unto us. When Solomon ascends the throne, though, Solomon, much like maybe you and I, just feel overwhelmed by a task much larger than him. Here, his father passes away. He sits on the throne and all of a sudden becomes real. You know, we see that with candidates, right? And they make all these promises. They make all these things. And then all of a sudden, they're the man, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I kind of see why the guy did it before me the way he did it. When you're sitting on the throne, all of a sudden, it just becomes a lot more serious. It's no more talk, now it's action. Well, Solomon finds himself seated at the throne of David, his father. The only king he has ever known, King David. And Solomon doesn't know what to do. He's lost for insight. His father tells him some things. Hey, you're going to want to watch out for this guy, take care of that guy. Separate yourself from that guy, bring that guy close. But after that, now what am I supposed to do? Ever feel overwhelmed? Hey, what's the best thing that you could do? Well, this is what Solomon does. If you go with me to chapter number 3, we'll fast forward a little bit. Chapter number 3, starting in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Here's Solomon seated on the throne of David. And God comes to him and says, hey, what do you want? Could you imagine? I mean, this is a blank check, right? This is whatever you want. This is the God of heaven. This is the one who spoke the stars into existence. This is the one that parted the waters of the Red Sea. This is the one that rained down fire down from heaven onto Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he shows up and says, what do you want? Well, Solomon's looking at what has been asked of him ahead of it, and he says, well, and Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Solomon pretty much just exalts the Lord first. He says, I'm here only because you've allowed me to be here. We could go to Romans chapter 13 and back that up with every elected official that we have in our life is there because God has allowed it. Solomon has been allowed to take the throne of David, not because of by his wit or wisdom, but because that's what God wanted. And now, verse 7, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. He says this, I know not how to go out or come in. Look at the humility of Solomon. He goes to God and he says, God says, hey, what do you want? He says, I'm in a position where I really shouldn't be. I'm kind of nervous about it. I feel like a child walking amongst men almost. He says this, and now in verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant. Look at what he asks. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? He says, God, I am in way over my head. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to go out or come in. I sure would appreciate your understanding of things. I want to know what is right and what is wrong, and what is best for your people. Say, what did God think about that? Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, or hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. God says to him, because you didn't ask for honor, because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for health, because you didn't ask for power, but you've asked for judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. He says, because you answered question number one right, I'm just going to pour it all out. I'm going to give you the riches. I'm going to give you the honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Was David a perfect man? No. No, not at all. Some circumstances about David are quite marring on his resume, if you will. David was in a place that he shouldn't have been. It was at a time of kings when kings fought in battle, and he stayed back. And there that day he walked up and he saw Bathsheba bathing, and he called for her, and then he had her husband killed. Remember Nathan the prophet came? And he tells the story. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And the Bible says this, isn't it interesting? As thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Well, there's going to be a stark contrast between Solomon and David. David was delivered, or Solomon was delivered something. He was delivered to his hand godly wisdom. You say, oh man, that would be amazing. Hold your hand in 1 Kings just for a moment. Turn with me to James chapter number 1. If God asked you, if you can have anything, what would you ask for? Teleportation device would be nice. Endless fries from McDonald's. I wouldn't want that either. What dollar amount? Solomon said wisdom. Judgment. James chapter number 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody like that? Sure. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you understand that he almost, in the same way that he came to Solomon, says, what would you like? I would like wisdom. Great. I have wisdom to offer. Praise the Lord. We hold in our hands the book of wisdom. The book of wisdom that helps us to discern between good and bad, right and wrong, godly and ungodly. We never have to question what is right and what is wrong. We have a book written to us by a holy, righteous God that tells us. So, if any of you lack wisdom, what should we do? We should ask God. A lot of times we don't ask God because we don't want the answer. I'm just going to do what I'd rather plead ignorance. There is no pleading ignorance with God. Proverbs chapter number 4. Go there. Proverbs chapter number 4. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. He's like, hey, if there's going to be something that you chase after God's wisdom. Many people spend many a dollar and much time into getting degrees and things. And maybe if that's what your course of employment requires, well, so be it. But what effort are we giving towards godly wisdom? If that's the most important thing, if that's the principal thing, are we getting wisdom? Are we seeking God? Do we truly even ask or wonder, hey, God, what do you think about this? Before we make any major decision. Before we make any minor decision. Well, Solomon got wisdom. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Not only did he get wisdom, he got riches and honor. And it says this in verse 14. I think it said in verse 14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And he says this. He goes on to say, and in addition to that, I'll give you length of days. I'll give you a long life. Hey, these guys didn't live too long back then. Long days, length of life, riches, honor, wisdom. We started 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse 5. There's a few verses to begin the chapter which is very important for our message here tonight. Before the request for wisdom or the offer of wisdom, we have a little bit of information about Solomon. So please turn back to 1 Kings chapter number 3, starting in verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Good idea or bad idea? Probably a bad idea. This is a secular king. This is a worldly king. In the scriptures, Egypt is a type of the world, a system that is contrary to the things of God. And the Bible says this, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. He marries Pharaoh's daughter. Not a good idea. Now, this is before God gives him wisdom. Verse 2, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built under the name of the Lord unto those days. And Solomon, look at verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. What a great verse. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Oh, that it would have ended right there. But only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So what's the problem with the high places? Well, hold on a second. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 12. I understand there was no temple. I understand there was no no set thing to say that he couldn't sacrifice in the high places, but there was something about it here in Deuteronomy chapter number 12. As we read in 1 Kings chapter number 3, that the Lord brings our attention to that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 12, let's look at verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. God says, there's a place that I want you to sacrifice. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. God says, there's a place I want you to worship, and I want you to sacrifice. And when we read in 1 Kings, not that there's anything wrong with high places, but the problem is that's not where God said. So Solomon has got a couple things going on before he asked or before he was given wisdom. He goes and he makes a covenant and a league or a contract with Egypt. And in so doing, to kind of finalize the deal, Pharaoh gives his daughter to wife to Solomon. And Solomon loves the Lord. It says it. But he also does some sacrificing in the high places. Why in the high places? Well, high places are places where everybody can see. I'm going there to make a scene, to make my sacrifices known. A little sense of pride in there. Now God gives Solomon godly wisdom, unlike any other wisdom. Wisdom to know good and bad, right and wrong. He loved the Lord, but at the same time, he also loved the pleasures of the world. And this catches up with Solomon. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 11. It started with Pharaoh's daughter. By 1 Kings chapter 11, let us read together the first eight verses. 1 Kings chapter number 11. King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Remind me what it said about Solomon's heart. He loved the Lord. But he had this thing. He had a couple things which were a problem. But look at what it turns into. Now Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. It started with one. When he didn't deal with the one, what did it turn into? 1,000. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of his father David. David's a murderer and an adulterer. But when it was brought to his attention, he fixed it. Solomon has this bride from Pharaoh that he should not have had. Deuteronomy told him, do not do this. Deuteronomy 17. He's worshiping in a place that God did not say, this is where I want you to worship, this is where I want you to sacrifice. And when he left those two things unattended, it turned into 700 wives, 300 concubines. And now his heart doesn't care anything about the God of heaven. How is that possible? Well, his wives turned his heart from God. We read that in verse 4. Look at verse 6. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Of course he did. That's where his wives were from. And Solomon did evil. This is the man who is given the wisdom of God. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David, his father. And did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. The Lord warns him twice, actually. Look at verse 9. And the Lord was very angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So what's the consequence? Well, in verse 10, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Hey, the Lord warned him twice. Do not do this. And Solomon's heart was unlike anybody else's heart. Solomon's mind was unlike anybody else's mind. He had the wisdom and judgment of God, understanding things that no man understood before. He had divine wisdom. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. He says, I'm going to take this kingdom back. I'm going to split the thing in half, and that's exactly what happens. All because he didn't deal with his sin. It was one wife and some things that he shouldn't have done, but God had given Solomon wisdom. Do you see the danger, the principle here? That if we left sin in our heart, it's not that we don't sin. David sinned, but he compared Solomon to David. David committed murder. I'm not endorsing murder or adultery. Sinful acts. But David committed both of those, and yet God continues to bring up David's heart and how he fully followed after him. But what did Solomon do? Solomon had sin and tried to cover it up or developed it or whatever it was. I'm going to ask that you look in your life tonight. Is there sin that you know of that God has given you wisdom about? Hey, this thing isn't good. Yeah, I'm just gonna compartmentalize. I'm just going to put that thing over here. I'm sure it won't be a problem. I'm sure just I'm trying to make a league with the king of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. I had to take his daughter. I'm sure God's not upset with that. Hey, what's in your life that you've justified? What's in your life? What's that little thing that, you know, I'm sure it's not a big deal. I'm sure God can look past this. This one thing, what does it turn into? A thousand. A thousand things. He doesn't suffer the impact of it. You know who does? His children. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I know this isn't a fun message. I know this isn't, it's not like this morning glorifying the name of Jesus and getting excited about that. But hey, this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. How many of you have, don't raise your hand, but have you ever left sin in your life thinking it'll just go away, but it just becomes a greater problem? Had I dealt with it way back here, I wouldn't have this boatload of mess over here. I never thought it was going to get this big. I never thought it was going to pull my heart away from God like it did. That's what happened to Solomon. The Bible says it was one person and he loved the Lord. 8 chapters later, he's building altars to false gods and could care nothing about God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Say, what is leaven? Leaven is the thing that makes bread rise. You just put a little pinch in there, the whole thing rises right up. Hey, you put a little bit of sin in there, it's going to affect everything. That's how sin works. A little sin, oh, just a little sin won't bother me. According to this verse, it will. Is there unresolved sin in your life? Proverbs chapter number 6. And we're almost done. A message like this, we can only handle so much. Proverbs chapter number 6, look at verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man disobey God and have no consequences? No. So you better get it right. When the prophet walks into David and says, David, this is what happened, this is what happened. And he's like, hey, we got to get that guy and handle it. And he says, thou art the man. And David said, yep, you're right. And I want to fix it, and I'm sorry, and I sinned. It wasn't anybody else's problem. And when God comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, hey, you got to get rid of this thing, and you got to get rid of that thing. And he says, la, 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 I'm not listening. I don't care what you're saying, Lord. And God comes again to him and says, you got to take care of this thing, and you got to take care of that thing. And now this thing over here is much bigger. And this thing over here is much bigger. Hey, this thing is going to destroy you, Solomon. You've got to get rid of these things and walk in my ways. And Solomon says, I'm going to do what I want, how I want to do it. And God says, all right, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, not from you, from your son. And I'm going to split this thing. Why? Because he wouldn't resolve what God was revealing to his heart. We come in and out of church a lot. If you walk out the same way you walked in, there's a problem. If God speaks to your heart and says, hey, this thing ought to go. And we go, la, 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 la. Oh, sure, God is gracious. God is merciful. You're not going to get hit by a bus. You're not going to piano fall out of the sky, crush you. But there's a consequence to sin. And you'd be deceived if you thought any other way. So when we read, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? How or why would this be any different for you and I? Is there any unresolved sin in your life? Yeah, but I love God. So did Solomon. He loved God, but he had sin in his life that he wasn't willing to deal with. To which God gives him wisdom on how to deal with this. He taught him what was right and what was wrong. And this thing didn't belong. And it took his heart away. Go back to James chapter number 1. Just a couple verses and we'll be done. James chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. Well, I love God, but I also love sin. Hey, Luke chapter 16, right? We cannot serve God and mammon. I either serve God fully or I'm going to serve myself and the pleasures of this life. You can't do both. Solomon tried both. And what got his heart? The world. So what are you doing tonight? Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, you can't. So what's your life like? The name of the message tonight is The Unwise King. Unfortunately taken from the wisest man that ever lived. If God has imparted his wisdom to Solomon, how much more should we be careful and take inventory of our own life? So what's in your life? Well, I love God. I'm not saying you don't love God. But is there something? Is there something that you said, you know what, I'm sure the Lord is okay with this when his word says otherwise? I'm going to encourage you here tonight to get that thing squared away. Let's all stand. I'm thankful for, we sang about it tonight, for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that in 1 John chapter number 1, it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, there's a real problem with sin in our real life. Sin's a real thing and it's destructive. Hey, if you've never been saved, say, what does that mean? That means, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to forgive you of your sin? If you've never done that, there's an eternal consequence. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for our sin. Why was he buried and rose again? To have victory over sin and death. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he can forgive you of all your sin. After that, do you understand that you can still sin? So tonight, why don't we just peel back the facade and let God work in our heart? What's in your heart tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, help us to be open and honest with you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? The altar's open. If you'd like to come and just talk to the Lord. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he expects you to be honest. Say, but I love God. So did Solomon. But he had some unresolved sins. So why don't you fix that tonight? Why don't you be honest and open with the Lord and say, God, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry, and I repent, and I don't want to do it anymore. So that one doesn't turn into 1,000. So your heart isn't pulled away from the Lord.